welcome back to the Belly Button Portal.
Yep, we're here with episode number two. I think episode number one went pretty well.
Yeah.
Hopefully you all enjoyed it. You listened to it. And now we're here with episode number two. And I understand, my name's Joyce. And go ahead.
I'm Laura.
I believe Laura has a quote for us today. She's going to read that, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And then after that, we are going to talk more to Laura about tarot.
Ooh.
So let's go ahead and do your quote first.
Yeah, we're going to kick things off with a quote by Ani Nin, which I think most people probably have heard, but it's felt pretty poignant just with this new chapter for us, kind of like leaving these stable gigs and breaking out into some new ventures. So the quote is, "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom."
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I can relate to that.
Yeah. It felt pretty good for where we are.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
We had the stable buds of our other gigs.
Stable, constricting bud of our other gigs.
But we were like, you know, there's got to be more out there to experience. And we were both very restless in what we were doing and wanted to get out and experience more of the life we had in our hearts.
Right. And it's also like a process, too, because, you know, a flower, you know, grows into a bud first, but it doesn't stop there. And continues on to a full bloom.
Yeah, it kind of opens in little layers. It doesn't just pop. You're right, it's a process of opening. And so, yeah, I feel like we're kind of in that process of
opening. Well, very cool. Yeah, I like that a lot. So yeah, I think we'll start, maybe try and start most of our episodes off with some sort of a thought-provoking quote like that before we dive into the topic at hand.
Yeah.
So I understand and I know that you have been doing some tarot readings.
Yes, I have. It started with my sister, who is a brilliant tarot reader and psychic, and she encouraged me to start reading. It wasn't something I ever thought I would do, but I really love it. It's an incredible tool for insight.
Right. Well, let's back up a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about what tarot is for someone out there who maybe doesn't really know what tarot is or never heard of it or just knows a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. It's a really, really old tool that's been used for centuries in all different cultures. It's a series of cards that contain messages, symbols. It's connected to the planets, the zodiac, the seasons, the elements.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Once you really get into it, and I'm still learning, it's very layered and really exciting.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's very cool. I've been lucky enough to have a couple of readings, or more than a couple, more than a couple of readings from you, which I really appreciate. It's really very interesting how it all works.
Well, thank you. I love doing it, and I mean you're a bright spirit, so it's especially fun to read your cards. But it's kind of a really cool tool. I mean it's a great tool for personal insight and guidance and messages for where you are and where you're going.
Oh, so how does it work? So if I come to you for a reading, do I have to have a question in mind, or can you just do a general reading? How does that work?
Well, yeah, we can do either. And I mean, everybody reads differently, and people are drawn and gravitate to different styles of cards. A lot of folks just want a general reading of what's happening, and then they want to ask questions pertaining to what is revealed in the reading, and then others come with specific questions that they're looking for answers for. So it's really very personalized on what the person who's being read is looking for.
And with your practice, I've noticed that you use you don't just use one deck, you use multiple decks. Is that normal? Do most tarot readers use multiple decks? And why is that? Why would you use more than one deck of cards?
Yeah, people are very different. Like my sister, she uses one deck. And sometimes she will do an oracle.
What's an oracle?
So an oracle card, it's more of a... just in terms of history, it's more modern than tarot, but it's not based on the same system that tarot is. It's based on specific messages, and oracles they come in all shapes and forms, but they're another tool for helping to clarify messages that come in. I personally love decks. I mean, the artistry and...
Yeah, some of them are beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, and very inspiring. So I like to use two decks. I typically do a fairly large draw if someone has time to sit. And I like to use one deck, and then I like to use a second deck to clarify, because I don't want to be limited by... what's left in the first deck, if that makes sense. I want whatever cards want to come up. If it's the same card again, then that's, you know, more clarity for that particular message. And I like to set the tone with Oracle and then read from there with Tarot, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. I think the first Tarot deck that I ever saw was that classic Rider deck, it's called. And it's pretty straightforward, I guess. I mean, they're all illustrated cards, and they're fine. But I have seen decks that are just beautiful. How do you choose, like, what deck speaks to you? How do you choose what deck you're going to work with?
You know, it's just like a gut instinct at the moment. It's just what just speaks to me on that day. But typically, there are two main tarot decks that I use that I feel really comfortable with, and I feel like I find a lot of clarity easily. But I don't change decks that often, but I think I was telling you recently that there was one oracle that I just kind of felt like I needed to set aside, not for any negative reason, just I felt drawn to a different deck to incorporate, and it's worked out beautifully.
Would you say that tarot is more of a, less of a, say, a reading and more of an intuition type exercise, or is it a little bit of both?
The way that I do it, it's both. Some people read very specifically from the cards and from what's traditional, and that's fine. That doesn't make it, you know, everyone is different in the way that they like to use the cards. But I feel like I get a lot of messages from the face value of the card plus the conjunction to the other cards around it. But I'm also getting intuitive messages based on the person sitting across from me. It's usually pretty personal.
Now, you also do readings virtually. So how does that change the situation if you're not sitting across from the person? Is it as good?
You know, I think it is. I mean, I prefer to be with a person, to be honest with you. I prefer it in person. I think you just get a little bit more of the person's energy sitting across from them. But as long as I can see the person, I think it's a little bit easier. I've done it where I'm just on the telephone, like my mom. She does not have any visual capacities with her telephone. And so I will sometimes read, but it's not as enjoyable for her because she can't see any of the cards.
Oh, yeah.
So it just kind of interrupts the flow a little bit. So if I'm able to FaceTime or WhatsApp with someone, it works pretty well.
Great. So I feel like there are a couple of cards in the deck that, you know, I watch a lot of movies, and I watch a lot of, you know, movies that have, you know, a lot of spiritual stuff in them. And sometimes you'll see it, you know, in a movie, they'll have someone doing a tarot card reading, and they'll pull, like, the death card. And I'll be like, oh, the death card, I'm going to die. What's the deal with the death card?
Well, I mean, the death card can sometimes signify an actual death, but typically it's far more about the death of a situation, a perspective, something in your life you no longer need, and it's more about rebirth. So I love the death card because it usually means that some part of your life or a pattern is ending to bring in something new and fresh. So it sometimes looks very scary and foreboding, but typically it's a sign of newness.
Great. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, really. It's just kind of interesting how things get dramatized in a certain way. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, since having readings with you, whenever the death card comes up for me, I sort of go, oh, thank goodness. That means something I don't like is going away.
Exactly.
So there's one other card, I think, that also kind of raises people's eyebrows, which would be, I think, the Hangman. Like, a lot of people look at that and go, what does that mean? Like, what's that all about? Is that, is that good or bad? Or what's the Hangman?
Yeah, well, the Hangman, I mean, he can be interpreted in a number of different ways depending on the situation and what other cards he's working with. But the Hangman can mean, like a pause that you are having to, like, wait in a situation. And that doesn't always necessarily mean a bad thing. It can also mean looking at things from a different perspective. You know, he's upside down, but he looks very peaceful. He's not in distress.
Right. Which is the confusing part.
Yeah. He's hanging by his foot. But, sometimes it's just about, like, taking a closer look and really thinking about the situation in a different way. And then also it can be really tapping into your intuition. You can see in a lot of decks where he is glowing and he has paused and he's gone inward and now he has, a new feeling of, kind of an awareness and maybe an enlightened feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the other card that sometimes really frightens people is the Tower, because it's usually like lightning bolts, fire, people are flying out the window.
Right, yeah. Forgot about the Tower.
People are like, oh no. But again, the Tower, I mean, sometimes the Tower can mean conflict. Again, it depends on where it's falling in the reading. But a lot of times it means a dismantling. It can mean that there's something that is ending, something that needs to be dismantled in order for something new to happen, for a new, fresh, something to be built, something new happening in your life.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I don't want to get too much into the mechanics of the tarot deck itself, but can you just go through, like, the suits? I know there's, like, a major arcana, a minor arcana, and just briefly, like, what's the difference between all those, and did they relate to, like, a normal deck of cards?
So the major arcana and the minor arcana, they are different. And then you've also got the major arcana, which is going to be the moon, the sun, the empress, the emperor, the high priestess. It's going to be more of the royalty. And so
the minor arcana is more like the number cards, if you were looking like a regular deck, like the four of rods is a minor.
Right, yes, but they all actually have corresponding numbers, so even the major arcana has the corresponding numbers, and they all correspond to planets, and they all correspond to the zodiac, and, like, within the minor arcana, you've got, like, the twos, threes, and fours, which correspond to the cardinal signs in the zodiac. And you've got the 5, 6, 7, or wait a minute, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5, 6, 7, which then relate to the fixed signs, etc. And so within each of those, the cardinal signs, you're going to have Cancer, Capricorn. I'm missing. Anyway, you get the idea.
Yeah.
So, they all correspond, they all have, like, significant meanings, and also to the elements, so that you'll have, like, the wands is fire, the cups is water, The swords is air, and the pentacles is earth. And so, you know, within those cards, you know, you've got a lot of stacked meaning, and then it can definitely correspond to the person that I'm reading for. So, like, you're a Pisces. Mm-hmm. And so when the moon, one of your cards is the moon. And so when that shows up in a reading, that's to your real strength of your presence within the reading, and can, you know, depending on what other cards that's in conjunction with, that can be pretty powerful stuff.
Wow, this is really deep.
Yeah. And I think I kind of like skipped over like part of your question there, but it's so layered, which is why it's so much fun and it's so exciting and can bring so much insight when you really start to get into and that's just the beginning of the symbolism is in each card.
How long did it take you to sort of figure all that out?
Well, you know, a lot of it happens with practice, and you know, at first I was, you know, like, oh my gosh, I want to do a really good job. I started, you know, reading books, and my sister was like, stop reading the books. She's like, use your intuition, find out what's personal. And so it was
how I hook up electronics. Through intuition. Completely. I don't read the books.
Yeah, but you have a natural gift, a natural knack for that.
Well, clearly you have a natural knack for the tarot, because your readings are always so... They're spot on, but B, they're also like really positive, you know, and I appreciate that about readings. I've had, you know, readings from other people that have kind of left me blah, but I feel like your readings are, they're very personal, which is...
Thanks, Joy.
Yeah, no problem. It's true. But yeah, so you didn't read any, so you stopped reading the books about it and you just sort of went with your intuition?
Yeah, I sort of just really like using the decks all the time. So I read my own cards, like anyone that will let me read their cards. I was like, I just want to do this. And I also, you know, was watching and listening to people that I felt had great intuition and some really interesting insight. So not that books can't be helpful to a certain degree, but I think you can get really caught up in that. And it's more important to really find how the cards resonate with you and how they're resonating with the person that you're with. Like, trust those messages that come through for that person.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about intuition and trusting your own intuition. Do you have anything that you do? Do you like meditate, or how do you tune into yourself so that you A, can recognize your own intuition when it starts talking to you, and B, you can actually trust your intuition? Do you have things that you do on a daily basis or frequently to sort of build on that?
Well, I think like trusting my intuition has been like a lifelong process of determining like what was fear and anxiety and what was actually intuition, and realizing where it fell in my body, and being able to find that my intuition is calm. My intuition is very calm. And I think one of the things with the cards is that it's really easy for me to trust my intuition because I trust the messages. You know, the messages coming through are for the person. It's their energy, and I am just the conduit to read the messages, and so I trust the cards, I trust what comes through. And so whatever, even if it doesn't seem like it makes sense, I just trust that intuition that's happening at the time.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
I try to just get grounded and really be very humble and grateful, you know, for what I'm doing, and asking for clarity and asking for guidance to do a good job and to be able to interpret the messages that you know, this person needs.
That's great. That's really awesome. Well, thanks for taking us down in that journey.
Thank you for the interest and the awesome questions, and for letting me read your cards. It's always a great pleasure.
Anytime. If you're anybody out there listening is interested in a reading, like I said, Laura does readings here in Nashville, but if you're not here in Nashville, you can get a reading from Laura over Zoom or WhatsApp, or probably couple other platforms I'm sure she's available on. And so if you look at the show notes on this episode, there'll be some contact information for Laura. And I highly recommend it. It's a very uplifting experience. And if you've never had your tarot cards read, it's going to be a real eye-opener for you. And if you've had them read by other people, I think you're going to really love and experience getting a reading from Laura.
Oh, my gosh. Joyce, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Of course.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Well, I think that just about wraps us up for episode number 2.
Wow, that went by fast.
It did go by fast, but that was truly interesting and insightful. So, cool.
Awesome. All right.
All right. So, thanks again for joining us. And we will have episode 3 probably in a week or a week and a half or so. So watch out for that. Again, if you like this podcast, please subscribe and hit like and all that good stuff. It's available on Apple Podcasts or any podcast platform that you prefer. We're out there. We are the Belly Button Portal Podcast.
The only way outy is any. So
that's
please
right.
Come any and
come
join
any
us.
With us. All right, everybody. We will see you next time.
Have a great week.